the third hour of this first three-hour meditation, why I can say I'm God here in Nigeria for this wonderful seminar. The third hour is, how does God talk to me? Now, I tell you how God talks to me, but God talks to every one of us differently because it speaks from our own inner heart, and it's who we are. It's who we are inside of ourselves. Now, what kind of a person are you inside of yourself? Are you a person who does what you want to do and enjoys doing what you want to do? Or are you the kind of person that has to do what other people tell you what to do? And if you are the kind of person who other people tell you what to do, what happens to you is that right away you are not happy with yourself. Right away you're not content with doing the things you're told to do. Little children are a perfect example of this. They rebel strongly at authority. Now, I'm going to say that about 2,000 or 3,000 times. Children rebel at authority. Why do children rebel at authority? Because nobody ever likes to be told what to do. Children love beautiful, unconditionally loving role models. People who guide them into doing things that are for their highest and best. Who was your favorite teacher in school? What teacher really turned you on? What teacher really made you feel good about yourself? How many of you had a parent or more that turned you on, that really made you feel good? Your mother made you feel just like you're 10 feet tall all the time because she had a way of saying things to you that just made you feel that you were doing everything right, even when you were doing things that were wrong. And sometimes a father comes in on that role, a little less often. And the reason the father comes in a little less often, what is the father figure? The authoritarian figure. You wait till your father comes home, we'll have him take care of you. And of course, this takes it out of the godly role, as we like to think of what God is, a kind, loving presence. And we like to think that all the world is a kind, loving presence. But have you had any role models? Have you had any beings in your life at all that made you feel wonderful when you were around them? That made you feel that they understood what you were doing, what you were trying to do, and where you were going? We're all going to the same place. We're all doing the same thing. We're all just walking to a different drummer. And the different drummers are who we've been inspired by, who our teachers are. Now, would you say that Jesus inspired many people? And the answer is no. You say, no? That's right. Jesus only inspired those people who were ready to do something about it. The hundreds of people who have come to Jesus, or thousands, however many there were. Only those who were ready to respond. How many women reached out and touched the hem of Jesus' garment because they felt that it would heal them? The roadside was filled with beggars, filled with people who had needs and wants and would have loved to touch the Master's garment and receive the healing. But they didn't do it. They didn't do it. And the reason they didn't do it is because they didn't believe it was possible. But this woman did, and she was blessed. You sometimes do, and you are blessed. People are always running to hear these wonderful speakers on positive thinking, on success and so forth, and how they can be a millionaire, how you can be a millionaire, how you can do all these things. And that's great. That's really great. But do they teach you along the way to like yourself? Oh, yes, of course. Do they teach you along the way that you never have to step on another person for your good to be revealed? Well, not always. And so on. We want to know, how do we talk to God? How do we talk to our inner self and say, okay, what do I do today? Well, you've heard me say this before, and I'll say it 100 times more, maybe a million times more. And I do it like this. Good morning, God. Morning, Herb. How are you today, God? Remember, I'm not asking for his laundry list of his health. That's just a way of saying, nice to talk to you. And how does God respond? Does God think I'm asking him about his health? My divine inner self, do you think? My divine inner self doesn't have the capacity to be healthy or sick. My divine inner self doesn't have the capacity to be poor or rich. My divine inner self doesn't have the capacity to do anything except to be itself and whatever pleases it. And there's nothing that pleases the divine inner self. You say, well, that's tough. No, it isn't. You, as a human being, can be yourself and have fun and have an enjoyable life. You, as a divine being, do not have a body in which to have fun and be yourself and be whole and perfect. You live in the allness. So, you see, we have to admit to ourselves that we're playing the game of being a human. And nothing wrong with being a human. Nothing wrong with, but why not, if the human, if we want to say, is just a little lower than the angels, if the human is just a little short of the allness of God, it should be easier to do. And it should be very easy to do, because we know the rules. We know it has rules. The law of cause and effect does not concern God one way whatsoever. It concerns you as a human being who are God, and you're pretending you're a human being, but that's the game. Now, if you play a game with me, and we sit down, and I say, okay, let's play this game. And so you think you're playing the game of chess, and I'm thinking I'm playing the game of checkers, we're going to come out with two different results. Now, the game of chess exists, the game of checkers exists, all these things exist. But what are you interested in doing? What game are you playing? Now, on campus, and so many of the seminars I've held on campus, everybody wants to get into the allness, the isness, the absolute. And I say, hey, cool, that's wonderful. But you might as well forget your relative standing then. You might as well forget about being a human being. Because when you are the allness, there is nothing human about you. It cannot be that way. It cannot be. So you say, well, okay, so I'm human. I admit to that. I'm not only human, but I'm human. Now, the next question you ask yourself, God, since I am a human being, what are the rules for playing the game of a human being on earth? And God in you would say to you, the rules for playing the game of being a human on earth is to be yourself and have fun. That you can't do when you're divine, because there's no self and there's no fun in divine. Not that it's bad or good, it's just the way it is. Now, so you're a human and you're being yourself and having fun. Well, God, how can I be myself and have fun when all the rest of the world expects me to do? Why did you create the rest of the world expecting you to be one way or the other? You did that. You created the rest of the world to think of you in this way or that. And that's your choice. Now, you don't have to do that. Now, what would you say is your finest tendency, your finest genius, your capacity to be something? What's your tendency to do that? What is it? Is your tendency to be, let's just say simply, an artist? Is your tendency to be an artist? Then you say, okay, God, I'm an artist. Now, God, I am the greatest artist. God, how do I be the greatest artist? And the divine in you says, you already are. It is up to you to recognize that you already are and draw it forth out of yourself in everything you do. Well, doesn't that bother the allness, the isness, and the absolute? No, not at all. Not at all. I ask you, in all humility and all awareness, do you think it bothers God for the tectonic plates to go underneath the earth and lift up the earth and create volcanoes and create great holes in the ocean and for tons of people to be wiped out in a volcanic eruption or in a tectonic plate action? Do you think it bothers God one little bit? God didn't create that for that purpose. God created each thing as itself. And if you're going to create God as a human being, then you're going to have a whole new set of rules for yourself to live by, which is okay. You're welcome to have that. You can have anything you want. But what do you want? How are you going to play this game? You cannot play this game that there's a God and the allness of God that is going to be a kind, loving father. Because if the allness of God is going to be a kind, loving father, it's going to have hang-ups and it's going to have problems. But if the allness of God is represented by a human kind being, unconditionally loving being, then that's fine. Now, I know this particular, what do you talk about when you talk to God, is not as satisfying as you'd like it. You say, well, gee, I wish they were all cut and dried. I wish this were all something we could get down to earth with. You can. If you're going to live as a human being, then live with its rules. Live with its program. Live with its law of cause and effect. Live with all those things. But you will be transcending those laws. You'll be transcending those things constantly, 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 because you cannot be human. Human is a game. And you get all fouled up in playing the game of being human. That's what our divine tells us. Look, you get all fouled up in playing the game. Just one illustration. You get in your car. Are you willing to drive at the speed limit? Are you willing to let somebody else go ahead of you? Are you willing to drive along at a reasonable pace? Are you willing to create the road ahead of you clear and beautiful and fantastic? Are you willing to do that? No! It's not realistic, because this is the way things are. Well, you see, then you find it very difficult listening to God. Because God says, you're putting a cause in motion. Now, let's take a look at that aspect. A cause in motion. If my original purity and integrity is wholeness, if my original purity and integrity is that all the roads are beautiful and all the buildings are beautiful and all the people are beautiful and everything, if that's the truth, then why must I use the law of cause and effect to work with that condition and bring it into right order? Why must I do that? Because you don't believe your original purity and integrity. You don't believe, you're not living in your original purity and integrity in the now. You can. Some people do. Some people live a little bit of it here and a little bit, like some people are very wealthy. But do they have healthy bodies? Yeah, a lot of them do. Do they have happy relationships? Some of them do, you know. Well, why is it you can't have all these things? You can. The reason you don't is because you don't think you can have them. It's just that simple. You don't think you can have them. If you wanted anything, you just go and get it. There are a lot of you who are living your lives in a very happy way, and you're doing lots of fun things, and you like yourself, and you're doing things that are good, and you say to God and say to yourself, gee, this is great, I like this. I could have a little more of this or a little more of that, and that shouldn't be so bad. You see, the minute you start judging, then you start putting a cause in motion based on that judgment, which keeps you from experiencing your relationship to the divine. Now, do you want to be in relationship to the divine? Do you want to be in relationship to the allness? Do you want to be that? Now, the decision's up to you. The decision's up to you if you want it or not. Because it's already there, waiting for you to enjoy it. So take it step by step. As I drive in my car, I go along and I say, I surround this car with my pure white light of love. All its ways are peace and all its paths are pleasantness, and the way is open before me. Then I stop doing anything. I say, I am the ideal chauffeur. Then I drive along, and all of a sudden I'm where I'm going. Now, I don't know how I did it. I don't know when I drove up those roads, but I know I did it because I arrived at where I was going. And I don't have any anxiety. I don't have any feeling in me that something is out of order. I don't have any feeling in me that other drivers tried to take my place or that my place was not open. It was always open. And as occasionally I'd let myself have a conscious awareness of it, and I'd look up ahead and I'd see three cars that are rather close to me, but they're still going my limit and still out of my way. And I'd say to myself, the way is open and clear before me. And as a snap of my finger, they would be gone. I didn't tell them to move. I didn't tell them to change their pattern or their choices. I just say, my way is open and clear before me. Now, can you do that? You're doing it all the time. You're talking to God in you, and you're saying, God, the way is open before me. The way is clear before me. Everything is beautiful. God, I am just surrounded by people who love and understand what I'm teaching and telling. Why didn't Jesus have a couple of thousand disciples? He certainly was a good teacher. He knew how to make his students really see the life and see the way. And his students dearly loved him, you know. Why didn't he have thousands upon thousands of them? I mean, here is a big man. He's a big light on the horizon. Why didn't he? Because people who came to him wanted him to do it for them. And he says, I cannot do that. I cannot heal you. I cannot do these things. Many of the words have been mistranslated as they come down to us, because he taught that he did not heal anybody. He taught that it is done unto you according to your belief. And he taught this all the time. And we all teach that, you and I, from our classes here in the Church of God Unlimited and the University of Healing. We're teaching that totally, totally. And why? Because that's it. That's it. What do you want? So we talk to God, and we say, God, how are you doing today? God says, well, that's fine now. Do you want to get down to the subject? What's on your mind? What you bugging me about? And you say, well, God, I'm really not bugging you. I'm just happy to be alive. Well, that's what it's all about. And I'm enjoying myself very much. That's what it's all about. You have no other requests of me then, right? You got it all. Well, a little more money or a little more health than some of my friends and relatives and so forth would be nice to have. Oh. Are you telling me that there is anything in your world that's not whole and perfect right now? Are you telling me that there's anything in your thought system that is not whole and perfect, that's not magnificent right now? Right now? Are you telling me that? That's what God says to us. With what you see, that is what you are. So you look at the world and you see it with problems, that's you. Now, can you look at the world and see it whole and perfect? Can you look at your little brother who has always been a bother to you and see him a joy, a delight? Can you look at him? Well, he's always been kind of tough. He's always been this here. No. People come to me and they say, Herb, I want to tell you my problem so that you can help me. And I say, go ahead, tell me anything you want. But I'd rather spend time working on your solution than on your problem. Because I don't think you want to keep your problem. I don't think you want to keep that in your household. I don't think you want to own that. You want to own the solution. Now, what solution would you like in your life? Well, how do you word it? See, you haven't even thought about it. You know, if I said to you, and I've said this before, here is $1 million if you can tell me how you're going to use it in 10 minutes. Well, I'm going to buy a $1 million house. Well, that doesn't do it. You're going to have $1 million in cash in your bank account that you're going to use as operating funds. How are you going to use it as operating funds? You're going to give $500,000 to your mom and your dad, you know. You're going to give $250,000 to your brothers and sisters. You're going to go give the rest to charity. Then you got nothing. How interesting. You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't. You're not doing that now. If you were doing that now, then you would have the $1 million, or 2 million, or 10 million, or the billion, whatever today's parlance is. But you cannot have anything because you don't know what you're going to do with it. Why do you think Einstein was given the law of what? Relativity. Why was he given that law? And even Einstein, when he wrote it down in his sleep, didn't understand it. But why was he given it? Because he was pursuing that interest. He was pursuing that concept. And the reason he didn't understand it when he wrote it down was because it was so simple, so beautiful, and so profound. You know, this is what we are. We have these beautiful things given to us. And I will ask you another question. Okay, God, how about this? And God will say, well, now let's see. I said to you, seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. Ask and it is yours. Yeah, but, I've done that and it doesn't work. You did it and it didn't work. What you did was you pretended to do it. You didn't really do it. Because if you do it, it works. It is a proven fact. Does the principle work? Does the law work? Do these things work on the human level? Yes. Yes. And what are they? What do they mean? They mean turning away from saying they don't work to turning to the, saying they do work. Well, you say, well, that's just a lot of nonsense. No, it isn't. That's reality. That's reality. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As we do different things, that's reality. What do you want in your life? Jesus spoke to his disciples, and he said to them, come, I'm going to be talking to some great masters. Come and stand nearby and hear. And what did they do? They slept. They were bored because they had someone do it for them. They had someone doing it for them. You have someone doing it for you. You have first the government. The government provides you with all the things that you deserve, all the housing you deserve and all the food you deserve, the clothing and all of the roads and hospitals and all these things that you deserve. Well now, don't you think it's about time that we start deserving more? We start deserving a higher level of things? We can. We can. What is it that a genius deserves? The best. What is it that you deserve? The best. And you get the best when you realize that you are God. Now, just talk to God. Make a practice of doing this as often as you can. Just talk to God and say, God, I like building houses. How should I go about building houses so that it can be satisfying and rewarding and every good thing for me? And then, all of a sudden, ideas will flood into your consciousness. People will knock at your door. Things will happen to you, telling you how to accomplish your good. It just works that way. And you, in all your wisdom, will say, too good to be true. You, in all your wisdom, will say, I don't believe in that person. I don't trust that person. Hey, if the divine mind, if the absolute brought them through the law of cause and effect into your life, you can be sure that it's okay. It's not okay if you ever allow yourself to have somebody else's values for yours. Stand up always for yours. And when you do that, you get the greatest results. Now, you're talking to God, and you're saying that you'd like all these things, and you'd like all these things. And God says, that's good, yeah. Yeah, everybody would like that. What's the difference between the people who got it and the people who just like it? The people who have it are the people who say, I have it. But they do have it. Yes, that's true. But how did they get it? By saying, I have it. They got it by putting the law in motion, by putting the principle in motion, and having it respond for them. Well, God, I'd like to have it just to snap my finger. Hey, anytime you want something by the snap of your fingers, you're thinking on the absolute level, and you're not thinking of the relative, and you don't want anything, because you have everything. Because if you can think in the absolute, you have everything. If you can think in the allness, you have everything. If you can think in the now, you have everything. And if you can't think in the now, if you can't think in that way, you only have what you can believe you have. You can only have what you can believe you can have. Now, how many people in their right mind would go around telling you things like I'm telling you? All that I'm doing is confusing you. All that I'm doing is giving you a lot of balderdash to make you think to yourself, boy, this guy is just talking to hear himself talk. Well, that's not the case. That's not the case. Every great philosopher, every great teacher has talked to their people and shared with them these eternal truths. And the people who followed it, who listened, and who walked the path of the eternal truths, enjoyed them. Upon the face of the earth today, we say 7 billion people. That's a lot of people. And it keeps growing so fast, you know. But that's a lot of people. Okay? 7 billion people. We do not have enough newspapers, magazines, media to carry the good stories about all the good people living on planet Earth. Out of that 7 billion people, we have quite likely 6,900,000 people who are absolutely fabulous, absolutely wonderful, absolutely successful. They may not have a lot of money. They may not have a lot of other things either, but they are happy. They are content. They are fulfilled. They're being themselves and having fun. You see, if we could turn off technology, but it's a lot of fun, but if we could turn off technology, people's wants would be very simple. Think, years ago, if they had no radio, but they had to buy a radio. But of course, then they had to have radio stations too. Think of years ago, people didn't have refrigerators. They didn't have stoves. They cooked outdoors on fires. Think of years ago, many of these things. I'm not saying we should revert back to that standard of living, but I am saying our desire and our need, our wants, keep growing and multiplying, not because we need them or want them, but because they're there. And you know the statement. They asked the man why he climbed the mountain. And he said, because it's there. And little children who have read that have put it into their own vernacular. And you say, why did you do it? Because it was there. Why did you take that piece of cake from the table? Because it was there. Not because they needed it or they wanted it or they had to have it or anything like that, but because it was there. Okay, now, you may have everything the world has to give you right now. Not because it's there, but because it already exists. It may not be present apparently in your life, but you would like to have it. So you put the cause in motion to have it. And how do you put the cause in motion to have it? Now, God in you says, say, I know that I know that I know the divine in me knows the answer. Say, I have all things that please and delight me. I live in my harmonious spirit, mind, and body. Yes. Be yourself and have fun. So, when you are yourself and have fun, you have everything that your heart could desire. You have every desire that you could have. This is what talking to God is all about. Say, God, I want to be myself and have fun. What is the pathway that I want to walk to be myself and have fun? And the divine in you will answer. The divine in each of you will answer in a little different way, yet it'll be the same. To be yourself and have fun does not need any accomplishments or anything. It doesn't need a body. It doesn't need anything. It merely needs a consciousness. And so when you say you're being yourself and having fun, all of your family love you being yourself and having fun, and they join in with you. And when you say you're being yourself and having fun, all the world joins you. And you're walking into an area and you say, I love life, oh, I love life. And then a voice inside of you says, okay, go over to San Francisco. So you say, I have no reason to go to San Francisco. I have no reason to do. I have no reason for. But I'm going to go. You go to San Francisco, and the place where you would have been standing if you had not gone to San Francisco had an earthquake, or a volcano erupted, or something else. Does God tell you to protect yourself and take care of yourself? No. But God puts you in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing that delights you fully, completely, wonderfully, all the time. Now, when you talk to God, God answers. When you talk to God, God reveals to you all the desires of your heart. I know them. Sure, God reveals all the desires of your heart, but along with that revelation is the realization that it already is a reality in your life right now. And you say, okay, how do I have it? Well, put the cause in motion. I like me. I'm independently wealthy. I'm happy. I'm surrounded by beautiful people. The things that I have said, are they what you would want to have? I would think so. Are they things that you would enjoy having every moment of your life? I would think so. Are you ready to do what you must do to make them be realized in your world? Well, what do I have to do? Well, what you have to do, you have to completely change your old way of living, because your old way of living was you didn't have it, and put a whole new way of living in there saying, I got it. Oh, I can't change my old way of living. I don't know how to do it. That's right, you don't. And you never will. Because every time you think of your old way of living, you're back there again. So now, you want to put this new way of living in motion. So, what do? You put that thought in your mind. Put that realization in your mind. Put that consciousness in your mind. And then let it be. Let it be revealed to you. You know, these things have happened to you constantly. In our School of the Masters, one of the things that we had everyone do was to take out a book and in the book write down what their blessings were. I had you do that several times over the years. Write down in your book what your blessings are for the day. And what blessings happened to you today? What blessing took place in your life today that made you feel very good? Well, I don't know. You got to stop and think. Okay. So you stop and think. You stop and think. Oh, yeah. My sister called up and she said, you know, I just had to call and tell you, you're the most wonderful sister or brother in the world. I really love you. And then they said, so, see you. And they hung up. And you feel 10 feet tall. You feel wonderful. Now, you didn't know that was going to happen. You couldn't have presumed it was going to happen, except that you started liking yourself. And the next time you turn around, here's something other beautiful happens in your life. But you don't remember them if you don't write them down, at least in the beginning. As you start writing down, my sister called and said, I was a wonderful person. Wow, how wonderful. Yeah. And my son came in the house and he said, guess what, Mom? Yeah. Guess what? I swept the sidewalk without being asked. He didn't say without being asked. He just said, I swept the sidewalk. And you have been after him to do things like that on his own behest, and he hadn't been doing it. But now he's starting. Write it down. Otherwise, you'll forget that. You'll forget that he swept the sidewalk because it's just natural that it gets done and it's dirty the next day, you know. It just happens that way. But when you write down your blessings, then you realize you really do have a powerhouse of blessings pouring in and through your life in such a fabulous way, in such a glorious way, that you just feel all is good and very good. Now, Is that what you'd like to have? You can have it, but you can only have it if you will take the time to write it down and be aware of it and live it and enjoy it and do it, and that's what it's all about. But it's up to you. It's up to you whether you want to do it. It's up to you whether you want to talk to God. How many times have you been reluctant to talk to your father, your dad, or talk to your mother over the years? Far too often. And every time you do go and talk to them, you seem to solve some circumstances and put a good cause in motion. Talking to God is a very wonderful thing. And when you talk to God, you're talking to your best friend. You're talking to the person who's on your team, the being that wants everything to go for you, even though God's not a person, even though God's not a teammate. But the thing is, the divine in you, God in you, wants to talk to you and wants to tell you how to accomplish any goal of your mind, your heart, your being, how to accomplish any goal. But you have to listen. And as you listen, you have to come to the realization that it's done for you. Now, we have a few minutes left of talking with God, and I would very much enjoy seeing each one of you take these few minutes now, between now and 6, and say to yourself, okay, God, what you got in store for me today? It's you that's got it in store for yourself, but you've never asked the question, you know. So you say, okay, God, what have we got in store for me today? What projects are we going to work on today? What are we going to do? And you know what? The divine in you will answer you with some very spectacular things that you hadn't realized that you knew. But once you know it, you say, yeah, that's come to my mind before. But you see, you kept rebuffing it, pushing it aside, not wanting to participate with it because you never thought it could come true. But it can. So, now do yourself a favor. Talk with God for the next 5 or 10 minutes and tell God exactly what it is that you want to do. Now look here, God, I've had enough of this stuff of trying to get a hold of you and your line's always busy. Now, I've got this here I want to do. God, how do I do it? You see, that's how you're talking to yourself. And pretty soon the divine in you says, okay, Seville, cool it. You're a little over-anxious. Just cool it. Seville, you wanted to have these things in your world. Seville, look under the carpet. There they are. You kept sweeping them under the carpet, saying they couldn't be, too good to be true. But it's there. I will tell you where to find it. I will tell you. And it's there. Many a seminar, I've told people to go look under a rock outside the house, and that they'd find something of great worth there. Not one looked under the rock. Not one. I'm obviously not a very good salesman, but not one looked under the rock. But you can. You can look in your heart and let God reveal to you all that already is yours, all that's already in your house, in your household, in your beingness, all is already yours, and you just didn't have the eyes to see it. So, walk with a lovely morning, and know I love you, I love you, I love you. Just play it cool now for a few minutes, and let God in you talk to you and tell you the magic awaiting you.